Thank you, girls. Please stand together. Something happened here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you stand together and grab your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to do just a couple week series on what the Bible says about the end of the world. Okay, so wow, when's the end of the world going to come? Well, let's see what the Bible says. There's a lot the Bible says about prophecy, and those of us that maybe know a little bit more than others, be patient. I'll say the word rapture, and there'll be a whole bunch of people in this church that don't even know what that means. You say, why? They're a brand new Christian, okay? They didn't grow up in the 70s watching all the Left Behind movies, you know. They were born in 70, you know, 80, and so be patient. And then some of us are like, well, I know all this stuff. Let's get on to something else. We need to be reminded on a regular basis. The Bible says, be ready. Well, what? Man, we're supposed to be ready for hundreds of years. We're supposed to be ready today. Well, what if Jesus doesn't come back? There's something about being ready. We had college days, and we have two little places where guys live, another place where girls live. We call it the guys and girls dorms. And so all week, actually the last couple weeks, they were cleaning the dorms, painting the dorms. You say, why? Because there might be some prospective college students who want to see the dorms. And so they're picking up all the dead rats that were underneath the beds. Just kidding. There weren't any dead rats. Cleaning and painting and, man, night and day and fixing things up. And, man, it's real clean and orderly and neat. It's just the best it's ever been. Guess what? Not one soul went to go visit one of those dorms. But they were what, class? Can you say ready? That's what Jesus wants. That's how he wants us to live. He wants us to have one part of our brain thinking he can come anytime. And we'll live a certain way. Okay? No, I've heard all that stuff. We'll read about that attitude in just a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 13. Actually, I read some of this at the memorial service yesterday. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those which have gone on to be with the Lord, that ye sorrow not. Of course, not everybody's gone on to be with the Lord. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. By the way, when we go to a memorial service, it's totally different than somebody else that is not in Christ, not saved. It's our sorrow's different. We sorrow because we're going to miss the person, but we know they're in heaven. Verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven, or from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to be great to be ever with the Lord. I heard a story, it's a true story. A doctor was with a patient that was about to die, and they were both Christians, and the patient said to the doctor, he said, how do you think it's going to be after I die? And they both believe in heaven. They were both saved. And the doctor's like, well, what do I say? And right at that moment, a scratch came at that hospital door. And the doctor, you know doctors, they go from home to the hospital and from hospital to hospital. This doctor had his dog in his car. He hopped out of the car, went in the hospital. They probably put the little sticker on him, room 312. He followed the doctor up to the door, and he's scratching on the door. Now, that dog didn't know what was going on in there, but he knew his master was in there, and then he wanted to go there. That's how it is in heaven. We don't know exactly how it's going to be, but we know Jesus is going to be there. Amen? Then he goes on to say, and also shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And he's talking about, we should talk about this. Turn, we'll pray and then we'll turn a couple other scriptures. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that we have a God that's in control. And if we didn't, I'd be nervous. I'd be worried. I'd be concerned. But our God is in control of yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, help us to have that mindset. But as we look at the God of heaven and how he's ordained the events of mankind, help our faith to be increased. Help our soul-winning zeal to grow. And help our souls to be at rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to skim. This is really a very, very survey just to help maybe new folks, maybe to remind some of us others this week and next week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, can everybody say last days? Okay. Perilous times, dangerous, hazardous times shall come. A lot can be said about that, but I'll just tell you this. We are in perilous times in the year 2013. Perilous. Okay, I my nature is not, my brother, he's a prophet of doom. You know, if a missile's coming, he's like, yes, the missile's coming, I'm going to tell you all about it. I'd rather say, let's get out of here, the missile's coming. He wants to be a martyr for Jesus. I'd rather be in the Guinness Book of World Record for Jesus. But we're in perilous times. We're in perilous times in many, many different ways. How many parents out there, parents? Parents, you had better. How many parents you got? 18 and under. Raise your hand. You have 18 and under children. 18 and under. Raise it up there. You had better walk with God and protect your children. And protect them from that internet. I know this isn't popular, but it doesn't say Popular Baptist Church. I love you, I love God, and I love your children. If your child has a cell phone and internet on that cell phone, you're a wonderful person. You're not a fool, but you're being foolish. That's like carrying a rattlesnake in your pocket. Most of my counseling appointments with wives, marriages, moms, and dads are because of technology. Quit blaming everybody else. Dad, wake up and be the responsible man in the home and say, listen, we love you. I don't care what the Joneses are doing. I don't care what the Smiths are doing. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if don't wait, and most of the time I'll say things like this, and he's old-fashioned. By the way, we are old-fashioned because the Bible is old-fashioned. Our kids are being so polluted, no wonder they don't hear from God. No wonder why in church, we had Brother Goddard, I don't know who it was, he had to call down. I don't know if they're our kids, someone else calling down kids in church because they're cutting up, they're disinterested. You say, why? Their mind is polluted because of what they've got on that internet, on their phone, and probably all kinds of junk. You say, well, I don't want to be too, you know, if we're too strict, they're going to run off. You're listening to the wrong voices. There was a day when God's people had personal standards of holiness from this book, and we had a lot better kids. It's not because your standards are too high. It's because your standards are too low. Where are we? Let's get back to the Bible. Perilous times. Perilous times. I get with my children. I say, listen, we love everybody, but listen, quit looking at everybody. Help everybody. Pray for everybody, but we're going to be God's people. See, what's the biggest damage to Christianity today? Christians. Christians that don't have morals, they don't understand godly holiness, and it's just this hodgepodge of all types of Christianity. That's the biggest problem. Perilous times. That's where we are today. I mentioned, I don't know, I think it was in during college days, you know, I don't know, maybe it was in a church service. We have Brother Hawking here, missionary for 57 years. Back in the olden days, little kids, when they were 9 and 10 years old, they had godly, holy families. We didn't have dads involved with pornography. We read the Bible. We had family altars. And these kids, 9 and 10 years old, they can hear the voice of God from God's Word. In those days, missionaries were called to the mission field when they were 9 and 10 and 11 years old. The voice of God is so foreign to little kids. My brother on deputation, our guys on deputation, they said, you know what now? He said, most of the guys going to the mission field are 30 and 40 years old. God help you. Say, why? Because now you got to sort of sow your wild oats and delve into the world, because the appetite of the world is so strong in our young people. They can't hear the voice of God. And then a lot of times they get beat up and they get all messed up and they remember what they learned as a young Christian. Then they come back to God. It would be nice if we can have a church where we're like, we're not trying to keep up with all the other churches. We're trying to say, let's have young people that walk with God. Perilous times shall come. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's in it for me? Hey, what's in it for God? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Disobedience to parents. Dads, you don't let your children disrespect your wife. I had one of my older teenage boys one time. He didn't think he disrespected. By the way, what they think and what you know are two different things. Don't let the inmates run the asylum. I know some of our, maybe visitors, we love you, and this might be a little Sunday night commercial, but it's good to come into the house of God where there is a man of God that knows the Word of God that wants to help your home. Amen. And I called down one of my sons. I said, you never, capital N, capital E, capital V, capital E, capital R, exclamation point, and whatever other grammatical ways to communicate it that I don't know because I'm not very good in English. You never talk to your mother like that. Never. By the way, you know why kids disrespect in the church and in the school and out in the public? Because we're letting them disrespect mom and dad in the home. What's happening in the public is what's happening inside our homes. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Look at back at verse 2. Unholy. That's where we are today. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Get off the internet and quit listening to all the garbage about everybody else. That internet's killing us. We'd all be better. I use the internet. I study. There's all kinds of the things I'm going to read, some things I'm going to read this morning. I got off the internet. But that internet, if we would have never had the internet, we'd all be a lot better. I know that's not popular, but this is the unpopular sermon this morning. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. By the way, while we're on parenting, since you asked, I'll tell you. If your children are always criticizing the goody two-shoe kids in church, that's who they're talking about, despisers of those that do good. I listened to a great sermon on criticism a couple weeks ago. Remember this, if you're going to walk with God and you're in your home and you're going to have high standards, you will be criticized. And if you're not ready to be criticized, it's not going to work. Because this book is in really opposition to everything that's going on in the world. You'll be criticized in the world, and I just say this, you're going to be criticized in the church too. Just love people. Listen to them. Take their criticism. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Okay, don't take it personal. Okay, you say, why? It makes people feel bad when you have some. By the way, I like people that have higher standards than me. I do. I like people. Listen, some guy comes up and says, man, I fast 2 days a week. You say, what does that do? It makes me feel convicted. But I'm like, I like this guy. See why? It challenges me. Because I don't fast. The only thing I do is fast. I eat fast. 5 times a week. I do fast. I don't fast twice a week. I remember Brother Meyer's sister-in-law, Sarah Ross. There are sometimes she wouldn't sing certain specials in the church. She said, well, you know, I don't even know why. I couldn't figure it out. I don't know why. You know, maybe Miss Alma, you can figure it out. Tell me. I don't know. But I said, I like her. I tell my kids, I said, never be concerned about someone that has a higher standard of personal holiness. Don't criticize them. You might want to learn from them. Okay? Learn from them. We're not, by the way, we're not trying to produce Pharisees. We're not legalistic. We're not talking about our walk with God. We're not talking about salvation. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, why don't we look at verse number, let's sort of save some time. Look at go down to verse 3. Knowing this first, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, that's 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, can everybody say last days? Scoffers. There are people when you say some things that I'll say this morning, they'll scoff, okay? They'll laugh okay? Scoffers. By the way, there's some preachers that are scoffers. I forget the guy's name, the guy up in Seattle. He scoffs. He says, there's no rapture. There's no second coming of Christ, the emergent church guy. And then he starts making fun of all the Bible verses that talk about it. Scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are herein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting on to the coming of the day of God? Let's, for sake of time, I want you to turn over to Matthew 24. Please. Matthew 24. Verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him. Matthew 24, verse 1. For to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, or as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's just a lot could be said about this, but we won't right now. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Why don't you do this? Why don't you turn over to verse 37, please? But as the days of Noe, that's Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So you can sort of study the days of Noah and see also these can help us to understand a little bit about the last days. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them up away, and so shall all the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, why don't you look up here? I'm too much introduction here. Let me give you a couple thoughts. There are four major events. There's a lot more events on God's calendar. The rapture of the church, where I remember as a new Christian, I first heard this, I'm going, no way. No way. But I was in tune with God. I had the Holy Spirit. I had his Bible. To where when it was taught enough, I'm like, wow. Just before God's wrath comes on the earth for 7 years, Jesus is taking all of his children out of here. You ought to be glad about that. Okay? So then the rapture of the church, the 7-year tribulation, when God brings his wrath on this earth. And let me say this. If you're not truly saved, that may be coming soon. It will be like a day there's never been. Okay? And obviously the world militarily is set for this right now. So if you're not truly born again, you will be. So how are you trying to scare me? I certainly am. It's scary stuff. I want to scare you to get saved. And maybe the truth of God can can bring conviction in your life so that you can become a Christian, you don't have to worry about the seven-year tribulation. You're out of here. Then let's go get a bunch of other people so they don't have to worry about the seven-year tribulation. This isn't just, a lot of people, they get prophecy and they study and study and study to where, man, they just share it with everybody. It's like, hey, let's go out there. There's a world out there that's dying and going to hell. They're going to be left behind. Let's go get them saved. The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, Jesus' second coming, okay, after the seven-year tribulation and the thousand-year reign of Christ. And there can be two-month series on each of those. Now, much leads up to this seven-year tribulation. We just saw wars and rumors of wars. Verse 6 and 7. Look, here's the radical Muslim people are bent on destroying Israel and the United States. And we have Joseph Ledwich, he knows a lot about it. He researches a lot about it. And this isn't just, oh, yeah, they can't do anything. Yes, they can. And they're doing everything they can. Oh, well, our homeland security. I'll talk about homeland security in a minute. There's homeland security is not going to prevent. You say, what do we need, Pastor? We need God's security. They're bent on it. They're bent on destroying Israel and America. Leader of Iran wants to annihilate Israel. And I don't have time to talk about it, but those that bless Israel, God will bless. Don't touch Israel. Don't criticize Israel. You say, well, those are God's chosen. Yeah, you better believe they're God's chosen people. I thought we were. We're not. Okay? And he's over there. By the way, my humble opinion is Israel has enough intelligence. They'll know before it happens, and they're going to knock out their nuclear capability before it happens. Okay? And that's North Korea. Right now, this North Korean guy, I'm 52 years old. I've never heard anybody so belligerent, so defiant towards the United States of America. In North Korea. Let me just, you get the news. North Korea approves merciless military strikes against U.S. You'd think this is like cartoons. This guy's saying it right now. Now, you know, some of us would think, well, you know, he's just bluffing. Or he probably doesn't have the capability, but he might. I don't think he does. Okay. Okay. North Korea approves merciless military strikes against U.S. North Korea says it has final approval to launch merciless, by the way, this is April 4th, last Thursday, merciless military strikes against U.S. involving use of cutting-edge nuclear weapons. The North Korean Army said Thursday it had final approval to launch merciless military strikes in the United States involving the possible use of cutting-edge nuclear weapons in a statement published by the official KCNA news agency. The General Staff of the Korean People's Army, KPA, said it was formally informing Washington that reckless U.S. threats would be smashed by cutting-edge, smaller, lighter, and diversified nuclear strike means. The merciless operation of our Revolutionary Armed Forces in this regard has been finally examined and ratified. The statement said. North Korea had threatened a preemptive nuclear strike against the United States a month ago, and last week the Supreme Army Command ordered its strategic rocket units to combat status for strikes on the U.S. mainland and America bases in Guam and Hawaii. The moment of explosion is approaching fast, they said. Thursday's statement said, adding that a war could break out on the Korean Peninsula today or tomorrow. In view of this situation, the KPA General Staff in charge of all operations will take powerful, practical military counteractions, blah, blah, blah. Let me see here. One more little one. I don't think it's going to happen. Well, maybe it's just a rumor war. Here's one. U.S. won't be surprised if North Korea launches a missile. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said on Friday that the American administration would not be surprised if North Korea followed through on its recent threats to launch a missile. We've obviously seen the reports that North Korea may be taking preparations to launch a missile. We're monitoring this situation closely. I hope so. And we would not be surprised to see from them such an action, Carney was quoted. And I don't want to go into this. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd be nervous. I just would. Just the fact that they would say that. If former presidents were in office, they wouldn't even say that. But we don't have time for all that. Rumors of wars. The Bible says there in verse 37, like in the days of Noah. By the way, some would say, as Noah came out, we're not sure. It's possible that one of his sons committed a homosexual act on Noah. We're not sure about that. But there seemed to be obvious homosexuality in the days of Noah. By the way, that was Genesis chapter 6. In the days of Noah, end of the world, homosexuality. No civilization has ever been able to survive with tolerance of public homosexuality. There's been homosexuality since the book of Genesis. No civilization has ever been able to survive with... You say, Pastor, how come and by the way, we probably don't make look, I've pastored for 24 years. If 24 years ago they were talking about gay marriage, we'd all be up crazy. Now it's like, let them do it. They're going to do what they want. It's no big deal. I mean, whatever. It's not whatever. You say, why? Tolerance of anything publicly begins to spread like a cancer. And I don't want my children seeing some lady walking down the street holding hands and hugging and kissing and some guy hugging and kissing and saying, just married. God's people are supposed to be the salt and the light. Listen, what if all of a sudden it's like public adultery is now going to be the United States federal, there's going to be some little federal public declaration that now adultery is okay. Adultery and homosexuality are both an abomination to God. Okay? And so, yes, are we going to, listen, we're going to love the homosexuals and we're going to, let me say, there used to be a day when everybody's for this, but now we have a cousin, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, and now we're all sensitive to it. We're not against the homosexuals, we're against the sin. You say, why? Because God's against the sin. I have family members that are homosexuals. I love them. I'll give them a hug, but we don't say it's okay. And by the way, they're not coming over to my house. Bring their lover to hug in my house on Christmas. Say why? I'm protecting my family. As in the day of Noah, violence. The Bible says right there in Genesis chapter 6, there was violence when God repented that he brought the flood. You say, well, Pastor, what's so violent about our culture is super violent. These kids going to school and shooting up schools and children killing their parents. But the worst violence is to the innocent children that can't protect themselves. And I'm not even talking about child abuse, though that's violent. I'm talking about abortion. I looked at some, and I didn't, I could have got this on the internet, but a couple years ago I had a message that said 1.2 million abortions a year. Well, if you've had an abortion, God loves you and you can have forgiveness. Okay? No condemnation. It's by the way, God did not create us to kill people. including little babies. And one of the consequences of an abortion is emotional trauma by the mother, sometimes the father, and those that perform the procedures. You say, why? Because we're created in the image of God. And we know that's wrong. I've shared a story. I think it was Ralph Sexton was preaching, told a story about when he was preaching during an invitation, a lady came down and literally was having a nervous breakdown right at the altar. They went down and she was just shaking. And they took her aside and began to counsel with her. And they said, what's wrong? And he was talking in the message about abortion. And she said, I worked in an abortion clinic. And she said, we would put these little babies, sometimes that were still moving, in a plastic bag, a trash bag. And she said, I remember times when my ear would hear the plastic moving. And she said, I could never get it out of my mind. And she said, I will go home at night. And she said, I'll hear as I go to bed at night the plastic moving of that baby that we tried to kill that was still moving in that bag. And she said, the guilt is killing me. So how do we know if we're getting close to the end of the world? Violence. Abortion is a violent, violent. They crush the baby's head sometimes. They tear the baby apart in the womb. If you're a Christian, if you're a new Christian, abortion, it doesn't matter what they're saying out there. God's word says that's a living soul. Now, let me say a couple things. I have to go real quickly. Realize that God's calendar is not determined by the United States. Really, geographically, you see, what's going on there in Israel? I don't have time. I have, and this some people would not agree with this, and so it's probably good I don't have time because I might. This article is called Natural Disasters and Harming Israel. Throughout the years, whenever we would have a president, some of the State Department they'd come together and try to take away the land that Israel has and try to push a peace agreement, some huge natural disaster would happen in the United States. You might want to look it up. I've got all this stuff here. And some wouldn't agree with, oh, God would do that. You'd be surprised what God would do. And I'll just say this since we're on the topic. Our president is not the best friend of Israel. And say, oh, well, you know, he was just over there and he was real nice. Anyway, we don't have time. What? She said, Pastor, what should we do? And I know I've been all over the place this morning. What should we do? Let me say this. We can panic. By the way, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be scared to death. I'd be scared to death. We live in a very economic, oh, yeah, you know, unemployment. Yeah. Okay? You can turn around. Don't. We economically, militarily, you say, who's developing all these nuclear bombs? A bunch of crazy people who hate us. I'm nervous. I'm not nervous when I spend time with God in His Word. You say, why? God's in control. If you're not a real Christian, I'd be scared. I'd have a hard time sleeping at night. We can become distracted in a senseless way. We have a new family in our church, and God bless them. They got caught up before they ever came to our church. They got caught up in Harold Camping and you know, Jesus is coming on this date, and they begin to sell stuff. Man, and Jesus didn't come. Okay? So we're not encouraging everybody to go to, I don't know, where are we going to move to? North Dakota? build, build and you know, become some spiritual militia. We're not saying do that. Don't go weird. Okay? Don't do that. People do that. You know, they go weird. You say, well, Pastor, what should we do? Well, God says, occupy till he comes. Just serve the Lord. Occupy till he comes. Let's get busy for God. On one side of our brains, let's live as if he's coming back tonight. Quit holding on to the things of this world so tight. Okay? Other side of our brain, it should say, let's keep winning souls, loving people, sending missionaries around the world. And let's sort of act like he's coming back in 50 years before, you know, after we die. I remember right after I got saved, someone began to teach on, I can't remember, I don't know if it was a church or where it was, Jesus coming back. You say, what did it do for you? At first it scared me, and then you know what it did? It motivated me to be a better Christian. I quit being so earthly minded. And I said, man, I'm just going to give my whole life to God. Understand that our security does not come from homeland security. Our security comes from the God of heaven, who dictates the affairs of the world. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.